Introduce Brother Stacy Ferguson.
The report to our supporting congregations every 2 years to let them know what's going on, give them a personal update. We always send out the monthly newsletters, and if anyone ever interested in receiving that, I would be glad to send that either by email or a paper copy. And that way you can keep up month to month the things that are going on. And so we're glad to be with you, and I want to get into the report to show you some of the things that have been going on the last couple of years since we were here. One of those things that has happened is Kathy has taken early retirement. She had been teaching school for 28 years, and she took early retirement. I remember seeing a clip art of a man laying in a hammock, and he was talking about being retired. And it had no boss, no clock, no worries, no money. And some of you that are retired may be able to relate to that. But Kathy's retirement is different because of her going and helping and working with me in the Pacific, and I'm glad that she can do that. She's the one who put this slide together. So if she says she has a new boss, that's okay, as long as I don't say I'm the boss. So we won't have any problems. But she is going and working and helping, and I'm glad that she can be with me, and we can go together all the time, being able to go more now, working in the Pacific, in the Lord's kingdom. I always think about glorifying God, as this verse tells us, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Because He blesses us and helps us so much in so many ways. He blesses us with brothers and sisters like you, as Kevin just said, that help us and provide the things that are needed to work in the Pacific. So we thank God for His many blessings. We'll be talking about those from Ephesians chapter 1, Lord willing, later on. Also in Acts 21, 19 and 20, when Paul finished that third missionary journey, he comes back, he greets them, and it says he told in detail. The idea is literally one by one, the things that God had done among the Gentiles. Now think about our work in the Pacific is just like that with Paul, because we're working among the Gentiles. And I cannot go in detail one by one the things that have gone on the last 2 years since we were here reporting. But I will give you an overview of the work that we try to do and let you see what is going on in the work in the Pacific. And then also verse 20, when they heard those things, what did they do? It says they glorified the Lord. Again, the glory that belongs to God for His blessings He gives us. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Those are a couple of verses that I think about when I think of you as our supporting congregations. One of our supporting congregations. I think what Paul said, that he robbed other churches. Now, we know that wasn't literally robbing them, but them providing the things that he needed so that he could go preach like to the Corinthians. And I think of the congregations in the Pacific like the Corinthians. For us to be able to go and work among them, but you provide those things that are needed. Also, in the next verse, verse 9, he talked about the Macedonians supplying the things that were needed. Well, that word in the Greek literally means to supply fully. God supplied fully the things that He needed through those other Christians. Probably, specifically, the Philippians from Macedonia. And so they provided those things. I want you to think of yourselves as those other churches, the Macedonians, as you help and provide those things that we need to work in the Pacific. Also, I would like for you to remember these two verses that I've just shown as we go through the report. Here in this verse in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And I want you to think about that, because the work that is being done is not what Kathy and I are doing, but it's how you're working and serving and how you minister not only to saints to help them, but also being able to help those that are not Christians to be able to hear the gospel and learn the truth. So please keep these verses in mind as we go through the work that is going on, those that are being encouraged, the gospel that's being preached, and how you're working and serving and helping in those ways for all those people that are scattered out in those countries throughout the Pacific. These are the areas that we work in the Pacific. In the North, Micronesia, south of the equator, Melanesia and Polynesia. These three areas in the Pacific, as I said, I cannot go in detail, but I'll just give you an overview of the work that we try to do, let you see some of those places that we're working. We've been the last couple of years, and just to try to give you an idea of the work we try to do. The first place we'll go is to Majuro in the Marshall Islands, about 4.5-hour plane flight out from Honolulu. We were there with the brethren when I was with them. It was just great to be with them and see that they were growing, that they were very active in serving the Lord. And it's like John said, he rejoiced when he saw that they were walking in truth. And it's always good when we come into the congregation and are there working with them to see that they're working, they're active, they're serving, and doing those things that they should be for the Lord. So we had some great time, fellowship with them. In the daytime, and this is just typically what we would try to do in the daytime, as Paul did, go out house to house trying to teach those that are lost. In this verse, the public teaching could be like the Bible college classes that we have in the evening, because those are open for anyone, specifically for the Christians, but anybody can attend. So in the daytime, going out and having Bible studies. This family here, we were studying with them, had a lot of great studies. I remember this day we were studying, and these little girls, they were about 10 to 12 years old. They come up to the door, and they're just standing there. They're listening to the Bible study, and they ask the people in the house, can we come in and listen to the Bible study? And so they came in this day and just sat and listened to the Bible study. Think about these kids. They could be outside running around, playing, doing other things, but they wanted to come in and listen to the Bible study. That was amazing to me. They wanted to do that. We had other people that attended in the studies at different days, but I remember the man here, his house, the man on the left, Titus, this was his house. We finished one day and he said, I read the Bible, never understood it, but now that we've been able to study together, he said, I understand the Scripture. And it reminds me of Philip and the eunuch when he asked, how can I accept some men explain it to me? And we had a lot of great studies with these people, but trying to teach God's Word in this way. As we teach, one of the great things in the Pacific is most of the countries speak English, but they also have their own languages in each country. And they usually have the Bible translated in that local language. So we have to be aware of those translations as we're studying to try to help people to see what the Scripture says. For example, in the Marshallese Bible, in Acts 20, verse 7, they actually translate this, they came together on Saturday evening. Well, that's not what Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says. So as we're studying, we have to be aware of that and help them to see what the Bible actually says. Another one is in Deuteronomy 5, verse 3, a key verse showing, actually the Marshallese Bible translates it exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, talking about the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. And then another one, and this is typical in the translations, is Matthew 16, 18, is Peter is the rock the church is built on. So we have to be aware of these, try to help them to see how we can know what the true right translation is. It doesn't matter if it's English, Marshallese, Fijian, Spanish, Samoan, doesn't matter. We can go back and we can look the Greek, we can look at the Hebrew, and we can know and help them to see what the Bible says. But as we study, we can help them and be aware of those things. Had a lot of great Bible studies when we were there in the Marshall Islands and Majuro. I remember in one of those studies, one of the young men in this study, he said, this is the first time I ever knew that we were supposed to worship on the first day of the week because of the mistranslation of the Marshallese Bible. And it's great to help people so that they can see the Word of God, know the truth. And again, that's how you're helping other people throughout the Pacific learn the truth. Going out and passing out tracts, enrolling people in Bible correspondence courses, Jesus said, go out to the highways and hedges, compel them to come in. As we go, people are very friendly, very open. Many times they'll fill out the cards to take the free Bible correspondence course so we can fill that out right there, take it back, bring it back with us and get them enrolled in the Bible course. And it's many opportunities like that to spread the gospel through the tracts, through Bible correspondence course, things like that. In the evening and as we go, one of the works is teaching the Bible college classes to help strengthen the Christians in those local congregations. Think about, why do we want to go and teach? Well, it's like what Paul told Timothy. We want them to hold fast the pattern of sound words. We want them to know the truth. We want them to follow the truth and to grow and mature in God's Word. This was a teacher who went with us last year, a new teacher, first time to teach, went with me to Majuro, and then he also went with us again this year. He's planning to go next year to Majuro with another teacher to teach. And that's how the Bible college works. We have others that come and help us as we go and travel in these places to teach God's Word. But we had some great classes. I remember the man sitting here in the front, he would drive the van And he would bring a group from one side of the island. They would come to the building and he would drop them, and then he would go get another group and bring them to the building on the other side of the island. Well, the first group, they would leave their home about 6 o'clock in the evening. They're the first to come, so that means they're the last to go back home. Well, they would get back home about 10 o'clock each evening. Think about that. From 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, they did that Monday through Friday for 3 weeks to attend the Bible college classes. What that shows me is their love and their desire to learn and study the Word of God. And I'm thankful that they will give their time to come and take those classes. This little boy, he was writing down on his notepad some things that we put on the boards. Now think about these young children. They're able to learn from a young age about God and that example that they can see coming and studying God's Word together with their parents. We finished teaching and I was just taking a picture of all these kids and I was thinking, well, Russ and I, we either did a good job or a bad job. I'm not sure, because all the kids were asleep after class was over, but I'm glad that they were attending the classes. On one of the Sundays when we were there, I was looking and sitting up on the front pew, and the classrooms, they have two classrooms, one on each side at the front of the building. And so I was looking outside the door and I saw all these flip-flops. And I was thinking of all those kids that are in Bible class that morning. And sometimes we'll go around to the classrooms and we'll look inside and count all the people. Well, I guess we could count all the kids in class by looking at all the flip-flops outside. But I noticed something else that was happening. About 10 or 15 minutes after we had started Bible class, a few of the kids were leaving. And then I noticed what was happening is some of the neighborhood kids, they were coming to Bible class with us at the church before their parents were ready. And then the parent, whenever they would get ready, they would come to it's an open building, so they would just come to the window outside the classroom, tell the children, their children, it's time to go. So a few of those kids would come out of class and then they would go with their parents wherever they were going that Sunday morning. But I thought that was really interesting that the kids got ready before the parents, and not even associated with the church, but they were just in that area and they wanted to come and be in Bible class until they had to leave. And that was great that they wanted to do that. Another part of our work is trying to bring back those that are unfaithful. I know that you have that problem here. It's a problem in the Pacific. It's a problem everywhere. And even the Bible teaches that's always going to be a problem. So we try to do that. We went and visited with George. Been unfaithful, visited on a Saturday. He came back Sunday evening. He repented, was restored, and thankful for that because he has a lot of talent and ability in preaching and teaching, and those local congregations like that in the Pacific, they need those men because they have to do all the preaching and teaching, the local men of the congregation. Also, this couple, we studied with them, talked with them. They have been unfaithful. They also repented and were restored. We were thankful for that. Think about what Paul said. Rejoice, not that they were made sorry, but that sorrow led to repentance. And we know that godly sorrow leads to salvation, as Paul says here. And we're thankful that they have those hearts that will turn. And when we talk to people, sometimes they will be that way. Their hearts will be tender and turn. Another place is Ebi. This is also in the Marshall Islands, just over a little ways from Majuro. This was actually the first time to teach the Bible college classes in Ebi. It's a relatively new work. I think of those Christians, like Peter said, the newborn babes that need God's Word so that they can grow. It was great getting to know them, have fellowship together with them. It's hard to leave those places like that to move on somewhere else to be working and teaching, but they can learn and study God's Word and grow. Ramey, he rode his bicycle about 30 minutes to attend the first classes. You have Ebi, then it's a long causeway and connects with Guchigu, another little island. That's where he lives. And he came to those Bible college classes. I think of Ebi and what Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous. I know most of you probably living in this area know the size of about 80 acres. If you can imagine in your mind about 80 acres, it's just a little over a tenth of a square mile. That's not very big. Well, that's the size of Ebi. Ebi is flat like a pancake, right out in the middle of the Pacific, about 80 acres, and there are about 15,000 people that live on that little spot out in the Pacific. It's one of the most densely populated places in the world, and I think about all those souls there that need to hear the gospel, and many opportunities to teach people in a very small area. Don't have to go very far. So So we went out passing out tracts, enrolling people in Bible correspondence course, again trying to spread the word, and that way as we could to those people there in Ibai. Tuvalu, this is south of the equator. This is in the Polynesian area. And I want to just tell you one thing about Tuvalu. We were there to teach the Bible college classes, but while we were there, we had an opportunity. One of the men there, a brother, owned some businesses, and I think of what happened with him when he was going to Cornelius' house, how Cornelius gathered together his relatives and his close friends. He wanted them to hear the truth. Well, there's a brother in Tuvalu, something very similar to that happened. In his business, each morning before they would start work, he has about 15 that gather together, and he tells them what all needs to be done. They talk about the activities of the day. But he asked me to come and to have Bible study with these workers, as I said, about 15 each morning. Well, that's a great opportunity to be able to teach that many people at one time. We'd study about 10, 15 minutes, and then I would dismiss myself, and he would give them the instructions, things that they needed to do for that day. And one of those days, now let me back up one thing. We would begin at 8 o'clock. That's when they are on the clock, 8 o'clock. So we would study about 10 or 15 minutes. They're on the clock. They're being paid. But I finished one day, and the brother told those workers, any of you that want to study the Bible, you can go see Stacy, or Stacy can come see you. You do not have to clock out. You can still be paid. And I was thinking, wow, what an opportunity. You can't make the gospel more available to somebody than that. And for them to have that opportunity, one of the things that I thought about too is they can know that He loves them. He wants them to know the truth because of providing that opportunity for them. And I'm thankful for brethren like that. He has a great love for the church. He wants people to know the truth. And that's a sign, a fruit of that, to offer that to those workers. And then as we go over into the Melanesian area, the Solomon Islands, it's a congregation of about 60 to 70 members. They do have four elders in the congregation there. We were working with some friends of ours, the Hortons. They came out to help. Kent had never taught a Bible college class before, so he was his first time to help in teaching. I know this verse in Ephesians 4:12 is in the context of the miraculous, but it's still true to God's Word. They're talking about the gifts that were given, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, those things. But God's Word equips us to do the work that He wants us to do. It edifies us, so when we can teach it and we can learn it, then it helps us to be edified. It helps us to know what we should be doing, to live the right way, to serve the Lord. So the Bible college classes are, that's why we want to go teach, to help them to know. What, it was a brother maybe or a visitor, I can't remember, somebody that was attending the classes there in the Solomon Islands, they told me that some of the other religions, that if you had Bible classes like this, that they actually charge you. You have to pay if you want to attend one of those Bible classes. Well, I think about that. That's how you serve those in the Pacific, because all the teaching that we do, all the material that is provided, the textbooks, we print those up at Forest Park. We provide all that material for them. All that's free. They don't have to pay for that. And that's how you help. That's how you serve, what you make possible for them. And that's how the church is different. One of the many ways the church is different from denominations, those other religions that are in the world. I remember we finished the course the last evening. We gave the test back. Usually just the time of fellowship. Sometimes we have a meal, depends on the place with the brethren. But we gave the test back this evening in the Solomon Islands. And for 2.5 hours, they asked Bible questions. And so we just answered Bible questions for 2.5 hours. That was a great time to be with them and to study God's Word and try to answer questions that they had that were on their mind. Also, Kathy teaches the children as she goes with me in those places. And I'm thankful that she takes the time and does that. The young lady that was with us, Kathy worked with her, and she also was helping and teaching the children as well. Think about what Paul said of Timothy. That faith was in him. What was first where? It was first in his grandmother and then in his mother. And how this young lady, her parents are helping her to have that faith and grow and her ability and talents. And I'm thankful for her and for her parents and those that will work and serve in that way. In this verse, Paul's talking about Phoebe. Phoebe's been a helper, he says, of many and of myself also. I would like to, if I can, put Kathy's name in that verse. She's been a helper of many and of myself especially. because it's great to have her with me, and she helps in so many ways. I think about these ladies in the Solomon Islands. She had studies with them each day, study about 2 hours each day. I remember one day they studied for 4 hours, and I was thinking, are they ever going to stop talking? But they had a lot of questions, and she can help them in ways that I can't. We, us men, we just can't do it. So they can come to her and they can ask her things and she can help them. And I'm glad that she's willing not only to teach the children, but also teaching the ladies in that way and other things we'll see as we go along. Again, going out into the marketplace to pass out trouts. The marketplace in the Solomon Islands is bigger than this building. It's a market. People come in from the villages. They bring their produce to sell. So you have a lot of people from a lot of places. And it's always great to go into the marketplace because there's opportunities everywhere. One of the things about the Solomon Islands, when you go to the market and you start passing this material out, it's like flies on honey. They just start coming to you. They want to know, what do you have? Can I have that tract? Can I enroll in a free Bible course? And it's great to have those opportunities. As I said, these people go out into the villages where they came from. Also, some of them we talked to were from outer islands. And that word can go to a lot of different places where we personally are not able to go. And a lot of people being able to learn the truth that way. These two ladies were baptized into Christ. The one on the left had been in some of Kathy's classes. The lady on the right, actually the mother of one of the elders. And what she told her son was, I've been with the wrong people long enough. And so she obeyed the gospel, 89 years old. Now that's pretty old. As I get closer to that, it's not as old as it used to be, but for an islander, 89 years is really old. And I think about that. We never know when someone will obey the gospel. As long as they have breath in them and there's that opportunity, then we can try to teach them, to help them to know the truth. And I'm thankful that she had that opportunity. Lamassa, Fiji, there's two main islands. This is the smaller of the two main islands. We were there working, teaching the Bible classes. Again, trying to comfort them, to edify them through the study of God's Word. This congregation specifically has had a lot of struggles over the last several years. And as we study God's Word, that just builds us up. That strengthens us. And that's what we want to do to try to help the brethren in the Pacific as they study God's Word. Also, Kathy, again, teaching the children. Think again of that verse with Paul. What he said of Timothy. From childhood, being able to know the Holy Scriptures, which give you that wisdom for salvation. These young people. Being able to learn God's Word so that they can have that knowledge that can give them that wisdom to know God's Word and have salvation. In the daytime, having personal Bible studies, just sitting down one-on-one, studying with others. Kathy and I both love to do that. I remember this family, we came up to their house and they were doing what we would call spring cleaning. They taking the mats out of the house, the bed clothes, the bed, the clothes, putting them on the bushes, just letting them air out and sun out. And we asked them, can we study the Bible together? So they just stop everything they're doing. They sit down and we have Bible study together with them there in Fiji. This lady also in the center, study with her. The lady on the right is a Christian, had some studies with her. So we went to study with this lady. And when we finished the study, this lady, I looked at her and tears were just pouring down her cheeks. And I was thinking, what's going on? What's happened? And what she told us was, she said, thank you for coming and teaching me the truth. She said, you have been a blessing to my family. And I think about that. That doesn't happen very often, but it's one of those reminders to me. That's why we want to go. That's why we want to spread God's Word so that people can know the truth, touch their heart, prick their heart. And again, that's how you're helping other people throughout the world. In the part we work of the world is in the Pacific so that they can know the truth. Then Nandi, Fiji, this is the main on the main island. This was a different kind of work, but it's part of the work that we do with the Bible College. The outreach work is having a campaign. We had some from our overseeing congregation in Forest Park. They came out to help us with the campaign. In the daytime, going out, passing out tract packets, enrolling people in Bible correspondence course. Also, we had some flyers that we had printed up. Because we were having a public meeting, anyone could attend, so we were giving those out, inviting people for those evening Bible studies. This was mainly an evangelistic campaign, but also it was for edification work as well. In the evening, we would have about 75 to 80 that would come, go into the night. We would sometimes have to put chairs outside. We would have Bible study, and then we'd have a time of question and answer. So that gave them some opportunities. They had some great questions that the people attending were asking. We had about 8 to 13 that attended, depending on the evening, that were not Christians, that were coming for those classes to learn and study God's Word. Classes for the children. Also, we had classes for the young people to try to help teach all of them. In the daytime, those workers having personal Bible studies. Some of this was groundwork that had been laid a year before because we ran some ads in the paper, had Bible Correspondence Course students. So those who were going with us, they had been studying with these people, laying that foundation. So when we got there, already had those contacts and having those studies with those people each day. Now this was in one day. 11 studies with 19 different people. That's a lot of studies in one day. A lot of people being able to learn the truth. And I'm thankful for those workers that go help us and for those people that are wanting to know the truth. Now think of the Corinthians, because Paul preached in Corinth. They heard the Word of God. They believed it. They were baptized. Well, you know what? We do the same thing today when we follow the New Testament. Those Fijians, they did the same thing. We could put the Fijians. They heard the Word of God. They believed it. And they were baptized. And we were thankful for those that were baptized. A couple of sisters, actually, were baptized into Christ. And again, thankful for their receptive hearts, being open to the truth, wanting to know God's words and obey it. 14 baptisms on that campaign, two-week campaign. We're not interested in just getting them in the water. We want them to know the truth. We want them to know about the church. We want them to know the commitment that they're making if they make that decision to obey the gospel, and hopefully do all that we can so that they will be faithful if they make that commitment. And we're thankful that these were obedient to the gospel. Samoa, this is in the Polynesian area. And just share a few things going on there as we were there working. A co-teacher goes with us usually every year, Josh McQuarrie, that preaches over in Mississippi. Again, why don't we go teach? It's like what Paul told Timothy. We want to commit God's Word to those faithful men so that they can teach others. In Samoa, where we met here, there were actually two congregations that came together. And this is typical of different places in the Pacific where we have congregations. We'll get them to come together in one place so that they can all take the Bible college classes together. That serves two purposes. One, we can be able to teach all of them at the same time. Another one is they're able to have fellowship together. Transportation is an issue in the Pacific, so they're not able to be with each other very often. So when they can get together, they just love being able to have that fellowship together, being able to study God's Word, so it helps them in both of those ways to encourage them and build them up. Another part again is going out and trying to bring back those that have strayed away, as Jesus says in this verse. This was a lady and some others here that, as I show you these, were people that have been unfaithful. And we went out to study with them, talk with them, try to find out why they were not faithful to the Lord and try to encourage them to come back to the Lord. The local brethren in Samoa, this is out in the village in Alisaw, they organized and wanted us to go out and help them teach from house to house. And we're glad to do that. And I'm glad that they have those work plans and they're working and serving in those ways. So we go out in the village. I think about, I can smell it now. I love being out in the village. And especially being with the brethren, just the fellowship that we can have together. And that's Ren, by the way, in the middle. Y'all help him at Memphis School of Preaching. And I'll say a little bit more about him later. But it was great to be with him on this trip as well before he started school last year. And just go, if you think about it, going to these houses, they live out in the village, but to see these beautiful, smiling faces, people that will sit down and they will give their time to study God's Word with you. As I said, they're out in the village, so they're working out on the plantation, working on the farm. But they stop what they're doing, they come to the house, they'll sit down and they will study with you. And it's great to have those opportunities to study God's Word with these people. I remember this lady in the center, the mother, we finished the study. She was another one of those. She started crying and she told us, my husband and I have been having some problems. And she said we really needed this Bible study. It just came at a good time. And that reminds me, we never know when we're talking to people what they may be going through. And that may be the time when they're open to the truth because of something that's happening in their life. And so it was great to be with them and have that time to study together. Chuuk in the Federated States of Micronesia, back up in the North Pacific. And just share some of those things about that trip. This is Wichifin in Christ. This is the Church of Christ. The village At the bottom of the sign is Naaman, where the church meets. This is the building that they have where we have the Bible college classes, also where the church meets on the first day of the week. Some of the members there, not all of these are Christians. There's been a lot of people baptized in Chuuk, but there's only a few that are faithful. They have two main problems. One is worldliness, and another one is, and this is from the mouth of a Chuukese, is that they're just lazy. And I'll give you an example of that later. But the doors are really open in Chuuk. There's a lot of opportunities in Chuuk to teach people. We came in, we're able to be with them for 4 weeks because we'll teach 2 to 3 weeks in one place and then we move to another place to help and work in that area. I could tell that they were down, discouraged. Well, worship is a good time to build us up. And that's one of the things that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says. It edifies us. And it strengthens us. So on those Sundays that we were there, it was a great time to be with them and encourage them and try to build them up. If you look at the people that were there on those Sundays, and I know there are several kids in these pictures, but I think about what Paul said, a great and effective door being open. The reason I say that is because when we were there, only 3 or 4 of those attending were Christians. And those that were old enough, age of accountability, adults, the total were about 10. So, out of those 10, only 3 or 4 are Christians. So, if you put that percentage-wise, well, that's about 60 to 70% of those attending that are not Christians. I'm sure Kevin doesn't have a lot of opportunities, and I don't normally have a lot of opportunities on Sunday when you're gathered together to be able to have an audience that's usually mainly not Christians. That usually doesn't happen. Usually, it's just mainly Christians that we are with on the first day of the week. But that was a great opportunity to teach those that were lost on the first day of the week, to have Bible study together, and then as we went into worship, to help them to learn about the worship of the church, to see the worship of the church, and have those opportunities to teach them even on Sunday, the first day of the week. Also, the Bible college classes that we had in the afternoon into the evening. Ren, this is our youngest son. He taught his first Bible college class. This was in June of last year. And then he came back after we finished that trip and he started at Memphis School of Preaching. So he's already finished the 1 year. He's in his second year and almost finished with that. He's supposed to graduate in June of next year. And he's one that you support to go to Memphis School of Preaching. I'm glad that he has that desire to teach God's Word, to study, to preach. And he did a great job on the class. And again, not only with the Bible college classes teaching the Christians, but I even think of all those that were attending that were not Christians. So that's an opportunity to teach them as well as we teach the Bible college classes. And again, even some that were unfaithful Christians were there. So that was an opportunity to talk to them, remind them about the church, and try to encourage them to come back. And we know that God's Word, it encourages us. And as we're together, we can encourage one another, exhort one another, as Paul or whoever the writer of Hebrews is, in Hebrews chapter 3. And then Kathy also teaching the children. And again, I'm glad that she does that. You see all these kids, and it looks like they're sitting there paying attention, but you don't see the times they're running around everywhere. Well, Kathy's experience at school teaching, I think it's very handy in the Pacific. Because these kids, if I were able to get their attention, I'd probably have to hit them all over a stick, over the head with a stick to get their attention. And then I couldn't keep it. But Kathy has that experience. She can get their attention, keep their attention, and be able to help teach them on their level so that they can learn. I know that we don't have many young people in here this morning, but I think about our young people. They need to always remember God, set the right example for others. I think of that for one reason, because of Ren, our youngest son that was with us. And I thought about, I wish when I was his age, I would have been where he is spiritually. And I'm thankful that he's made decisions that he's made and choices that he's made in the direction of his life. And I know we can always become unfaithful, so I always pray that he'll continue on that course to be faithful to the Lord. But when we were in Chuuk, had a lot of Bible studies, a lot of opportunities to teach others. Ren led a lot of those Bible studies. I could leave him and know he would do an effective job and be able to teach them, be able to answer questions. We had a lot of people that attended those Bible studies, as I said, a lot of opportunities, open doors in Chuuk. Some of those that were attending those Bible studies, keep getting those, want to jump from one to another, But those attending the Bible studies, most of them, as I said, were not Christians, but we had some, like this couple, that were unfaithful Christians. This man leaning against the post, an unfaithful Christian, so gives us opportunities to try to encourage and help them as well in those ways. And then Kathy also, she loves to teach those that are lost, not only classes for the ladies, but also personal Bible studies with the ladies. And what I've noticed with Kathy going with me, that these ladies that come to those Bible studies, if it were just us men in there that were teaching the Bible college classes, they wouldn't be in those classes. But because it's Kathy and there's other ladies, then those ladies come to the Bible study and willing to sit down and study with her. This lady in the center, Bera, one of those that was interested, she had been attending the Bible college classes. Kathy studied with her, not a Christian. She was very open, receptive. Kathy had a lot of great studies with her. And then we were thankful that she was baptized into Christ and added to the church. Some other studies that she had, and as I said, in Chuuk, there's many opportunities. One lady here in the purple shirt in the center, Sufferina. Kathy goes through the Bible studies, comes to that point in the Bible study and asks Sufferina, are you saved or are you lost? And Sufferina, now Kathy's the one telling me this, and Sufferina tells her, I'm lost. It was like, oh well, I don't care. Kathy said, why are you lost? She said, because there's sin in my house. She knew she was not living the right way. And she had that attitude of, don't care, I'm not sure what you do with somebody in that situation other than try to help them to see. We don't know if we'll have tomorrow. We know what the Bible says about hell. That's a place we don't want to go. And if we don't obey God, that's where we're going to end up. But she didn't make any change. Well, another lady standing next to Kathy, Melody, an unfaithful member of the church. Again, Kathy studying with her, asked that question, and Melody with that same attitude, I'm lost. And Kathy said, why are you lost? She said, because I'm going to the wrong church. She knew exactly why she was lost. Well, and this goes back to what I was saying, there is a Protestant denomination right there at her house. So instead of walking down the road about 1 mile where the church building is, she just goes there because it's easy. But she knows it's not right. Well, she didn't make a change either, unfortunately. The lady also that was standing next to her, Kiri, she's been in a lot of Bible studies, a lot of Bible college classes, never obeyed the gospel. Again, they didn't do anything on that trip. This was June last year. And I think about what Isaiah said, God's word will not return void. It will accomplish its purpose. Well, we go back into January of this year, Sufferina, she was there right at the beginning. She was ready to be baptized into Christ. Well, Kathy studied with her some more, be sure that she was ready. She told Kathy, there's no more sin in my house. She had repented, but she had not obeyed the gospel. And so we were thankful that she obeyed the gospel. The other lady, Kiri, same thing. She was there when we came back. And I know these local brethren studying with them, God's Word, working on their heart and their mind, the things that they had studied. And so she also wanted to be baptized. Kathy studied with her, make sure she was ready, and she was baptized into Christ. We were thankful for that. Well, Sufferina, in the picture there, after she obeys the gospel, you could tell she was different. I've been in Chuuk a lot of times in the past and seen Sufferina, but this time she was different. You could see she was different. She had changed. And she was happy. Was that the last bill? Or is there one more? Okay, one more. And so she was happy to be a Christian. Well, this picture, we had to park at the bottom of the hill and we were going up the hill. I had to walk up the hill to have a Bible study up there with one Christian that lived in this area. Well, Sufferina, she went with us almost every day on those Bible studies. Now you think about it. A new babe in Christ, that's what she needed. She needed to be in those Bible studies. And we were glad that she went with us so she could learn God's Word, also learn how to teach others that were lost. So we come up to the top of the hill and we were going to study with Frog. He's the Christian, Frog, and his wife Pia. Well, we get there, Frog's not there, he's at work. Pia, his wife, she's there. So what Kathy does is she studies with Pia and some of the other ladies that were there with her. Had a lot of great Bible studies with her, so the other brother with me, I asked Hermas, what are we going to do, Hermas? So there's a few houses up on top of that hill. We go to a house just up the hill next to that house where Kathy is. And this is where we meet Nonico. And we asked them, would you like to have Bible study? So they said, sure, we'll have Bible study. Well, there was a man there, Noniko. Her husband was there, but he never came in any of the studies. So we're studying with Noniko. Studies are going great. She really understands. You can tell she wants to know more. And we come back one day, Noniko's not there. And I was thinking, this was a great opportunity with Noniko. I wonder what happened with her. Well, come to find out, she went down the hill next door to sit in Kathy's study with the ladies. Can you believe it? Kathy stole my Bible study. But that's okay, because it was better for her to be with those ladies. So they study together. Well, Pia obeys the gospel. Now there's two Christians in this area. Noniko wanted to obey the gospel, but her husband would not let her. Well, she's got to make that choice. Luke 14:26, we have to love God. Jesus put it as hate, father and mother, brother and sister. She has to put God before anybody else. So she's got to make that decision. Well, that was in January of this year. In June of this year, one of our co-workers, Joy Treat, that lives in Palau, he takes trips periodically into Chuuk. And I got an email from him in June of this year, and this is what he said. He said, y'all planted, I watered, God gave the increase. Noniko had obeyed the gospel. And we were thankful to God for that. I want to just end with this. As ministers, servants of God, going back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, how have we ministered or served others? Not Kathy and I, but all of us. In the report we talked about this morning. What have you done? You've helped to teach those that are lost. You've helped to bring back those that are unfaithful. And also helping putting God's Word in men's hearts and minds so that they can know the truth. And we thank you for helping us to be able to go and us being able to work together to spread God's Word throughout the Pacific. And my time is up. Thank you.